I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, 7:45, quarter till 8. I'm a West Banker, so to me, everything's across the river. So don't go by me. But just to be clear on the traffic, I got a text that says the St. Claude Bridge is open. Claiborne is out. The Sieber Bridge is out, not St. Claude. I just drove over it. If that makes sense to y'all, again, I'm a West Banker and everything's across the river to me. Stephen Procopio joins us now, president of the Public Affairs Research Council, talk about ethics laws. How you doing, Stephen?
Great.
I see a story here by a friend, David Hammer, from WWL Louisiana, that you told him that this change in the ethics law tips the scales far too much in favor of making it difficult to enforce the ethics code. I presume you were quoted accurately?
Yeah, I'd have to know when it was, because there were a lot of changes that went through that bill from its beginning. And at its beginning, it was awful.
But
to where it is now.
I'm sorry. So, tell me how we wound up. That's the most important part of it. Although, you know, you don't know what's going to happen next session. But tell me where we are now and what changed, I guess, is what people need to know.
Sure. Now, to be clear, it's like a 40-page bill. So there's a lot of changes in there. And some of which I actually think are fine. They actually gave people that are accused of ethics complaints, they give them a lot more information and let them see, the charges. And they also, the people can make a statement, which actually what ethics told us is that they're all doing that already. So this is essentially putting into law some standard practices. There's going to be more reporting. So there are lots of things that I think are either fine or actually good. Mm-hmm. The issue is then there's this, a lot of exceptions that were added, and the whole system I'm a little worried about. So for example, there are things I'll call normal exceptions. Like they added the racing commission can essentially, even though they have horses that are racing in there that they have an interest in, can be on the racing commission that oversees, you know, the horse races. Which seems like a conflict of interest. In fact, the ethics board told them it was a conflict of interest, so they went to the board of to the legislature and got it changed.
Wait, go back and say that again, because you're talking about here not just, you know, not just a business endeavor, but a business endeavor upon which you can wager. And I'm not casting aspersions at anybody, but just it's early. Go back and tell people what changed again with the Racing Commission.
Sure. So you can be a member of the Racing Commission, but also have horses that are racing. So you have a vested interest. You could have. I'm not saying you do.
Right, you could.
But you could have a conflict of interest in terms of, hey, I have to regulate this thing that I also, you know, partake in, which is a conflict of interest. And the Board of Ethics told them it was a conflict of interest. And they just went to the legislature and got it changed. But that is just one small part of the
whole bill. You confused me with they got it changed, meaning now you can – they didn't change it for the good, good being a relative term.
Right.
They changed it so that you can be a member of the commission and have an interest in the horse or whatever it is.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's unfortunately not atypical of the type of things that can be changed. That is obviously a move in the wrong direction. But compared to what was proposed, it's not existential. This will be a problem, and hopefully we can find ways to make it work, but
give me a couple more for instances if you can, Stephen.
There was something else allowing someone else from the to be added to the convention center, but it was very specific in whether you had to work at the convention center, the New Orleans Convention Center, for for a certain number of years and essentially be named Steve. I don't know who the person is, but there was clearly a person that was working at the convention center and had interest, and let them put back on there. I don't know who that person is. That one is so narrowly tailored. It's not as bad as the Racing Commission one. But in the more important issues are sort of the more systemic issues about investigation and what's being allowed and subpoenas. That this is a lot harder to do the work of the Ethics Board.
All right, let me tell you what. I think that would be a good point to stop, and we'll pick it up with subpoenas and investigations and talk about why. And one concern I have, Stephen, is that as we do everything we can to try to make taxes simpler and a more friendly business environment, you know, Louisiana used to have the reputation of business leaders would say, you know, you go everywhere, you got to grease some palms. But Louisiana, it's crazy. It's ridiculous. Everybody has a handout. And I think the last thing in the world from a business development standpoint we want is that reputation. Stephen Procopio, our guest, president of the Public Affairs Research Council, will pick up the changes in the ethics laws with subpoenas and investigations when we come back. 7:50, 10 till 8, traffic now, WWL.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
7:56, 4 till 8, never enough time in the morning. Stephen Procopio, our guest, president of the Public Affairs Research Council, talking about the ethics regulations and the weakening that happened with the session that's just concluded. Stephen, you were talking about subpoenas, I think it was, and investigations. Go ahead, please.
Right, sure. So to understand how the process works, there is a complaint that's made. And then after that, they can choose, the board can choose to do an investigation. And then if they determine that the investigation has found something, they'll send that on to a separate body, the Ethics Adjudicatory Board, which is a sort of an independent administrator that looks at it. And then they will render equivalency of a verdict. This whole thing has to kind of happen within a year. So some of the changes that were made, I said some of them are good, but there are also some ways to sort of delay it. We're using the subpoena and the extra subpoena abilities that now someone will have. Mm-hmm. So essentially to try and run out the clock. Now, I don't know that it's going to happen in every instance. And I think hopefully that will be efficient. And they also have ways to extend that. So I think what will probably happen, you'll see a lot of extensions. But what I want to make sure everyone is aware of when you see like a story, it says, oh, Ethics Board asking for a lot of extensions, that there's a reason for that. Because we're going to need that to make sure bad actors don't extend the clock.
Go ahead.
Because otherwise you could just, it's not like a regular criminal trial where it's like you can go on and whatever it is. It's like there's a limit to how long you can have an ethics investigation.
So I'm reading from David Hammer's story here. Every person who is the subject of an investigation could simply file a request for advisory opinion, and that would stop an investigation. It's a get away with it card. Talk about that, if you would, Stephen.
Yeah. So there's an additional language that they added and that says you can ask for an advisory opinion from the Board of Ethics. So you're about to do something like, hey, if I take this action, if I hire this person, if I enter in this contract, you're concerned maybe this is going to be a violation of the ethics code. So you will ask for an advisory opinion and they'll send it back to you. And they're like, yes, this would be a problem, or no, it's fine, or maybe under these conditions. What this new law says is that an advisory opinion cannot be used as sort of evidence against someone. Because the problem is sometimes people will ask for an advisory opinion for something they're already doing and say, hey, I'm doing this. Is this right? And then they can have the board let them know that wasn't right. And there's a little bit of a tension here because you have someone that maybe under the current law really trying to figure out what they're doing is wrong so they can fix it. But sometimes the advisory board will be like, well, no, and not only that, we're not going to investigate you. And I can kind of see complaints there. It's like, well, why are you going to investigate someone that was trying to find out what's going on? The problem with putting in the law is that there are concerns, and I have these concerns, that you're doing something wrong, you ask for an advisory opinion, and you say, well, you can't investigate me because I asked for an advisory opinion, and that's how the law reads now. So there is a potential concern that people could use this as a shield, again, if you're a bad actor, to block it, which is a shame because we want people to get advisory opinions to know if they're doing the right thing or not. That should be encouraged. But on the other hand, I do have some worries that this is going to be used as sort of a mechanism to actually stop investigating.
Thank you, Stephen. You have to come back.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.